Jeremiah and chapter 23. And in our study, we have, as we're looking at Jeremiah back then and in the presence of God, who made this recording for us. So God, here we are looking, and we're going back, and Jeremiah for years has been trying to help the people of Jerusalem and Judah, and they have not responded. And so now, as we're coming in the book of Jeremiah, God is making it very clear that the kings, the leadership, the prophets, and the priest, and the people are all guilty. And therefore, what is going to happen with Nebuchadnezzar taking the city down is a sure thing. Now, having said that, and then God's going to fill in the pieces. Now, so keeping that in mind, if you would, so Jeremiah chapter 33 has to do with the prophets and the priest in particular. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, over, if you would, please, I'm going to come right back in this to Jeremiah, over to chapter 22, Ezekiel chapter 22. Remember, Ezekiel is taken captive while Jeremiah is still in Jerusalem. And so Ezekiel is God's spokesman by way of Babylon. And he makes it clear of the judgment upon Jerusalem. And therefore, just to remind you, make it so it's clear, Ezekiel chapter 22, and you remember in verse 25, the prophets are mentioned. There is a conspiracy of a prophets. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law. Her prince leadership in the midst thereof are like wolves. Verse 28, and her prophets have dubbed them with untempered mortar, vanity. Verse 29, the people of the land have used oppression. So God, there's no one left out. I just want to remind you of that. So the whole, everybody. Now, why is that true? And one other thing to be reminded of that we shared last time. Over to Jeremiah chapter 5. And you want to have that in mind so that you don't, so when we're going, it'll make sense to you better. Jeremiah chapter 5, and you'll remember in verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule in cahoots with the prophets by their means. And my people, now here they are, here's the priest and prophet. My people love it to have it so. They are encouraging, applauding, and supporting the priest and the prophets. So, and what will you do in the end thereof? What are you going to do when the end comes? When you are all thinking the same, loving the direction you're going. Now, so back over to chapter 23. Now remember, in chapter 23, we shared together up to verse 17. So, chapter 23:17. Now, my question is, who were the hearers, the people, who were the people following, and how so? Why so? Why were the people loving it so? And what were they loving, and why were they following? Therefore, chapter 23, verse 17, they say still unto them, the prophets, that despise me. So God, the people, what kind of attitude do they have about God? They despise him. And in the process, the despise is intensive. It isn't just a easy despise. It's a very intensive, boom, coming out strong. They despise him. Wow. That's how they are. They were like that. Now, and so the word despise, as we looked at it, has to do with to pierce. Think of a bee sting or a sword sting sticking in you. So to condemn, to despise, to disregard, to have no respect for. And the way to pick that up, that word despised, and the setting that you're reading it in Jeremiah. Hold your finger right here and go over to Isaiah, and you'll see it 100 years earlier. In Isaiah chapter 5, picking up, if I can, in verse 24. Chapter 5, verse 24, Isaiah. And I'll read verse 23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and as the flame consumeth the shaft, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall be as dust. Because, why? They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. They had no respect. They literally didn't. They shook their fist at God's word. Back over to chapter 23 of Jeremiah. So in the process, they despised God's word. They just thumbs down against it. Now, and the second thing that we have stated for us, I'll read the verse. They say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And what else were they saying? That everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. So the second thing they were saying, whoever walketh is walking, after the imagination of their own heart, to pursue a way of life, the imagination to pursue, to walk, the word walk, to move about, to pursue a given way of life. How they were living. They were living in a certain way. They wanted to keep living in that way. Now, and therefore, and verse 17, they're pursuing the imaginations of their own heart. And remember, the word imagination has to do with being hostile, always hostile. The word imagination, root, to twist, to take something and tie it in a knot, to tie it very tight a cord, a chain, to make a good connection, strong connection, to be firm, to be hard, and thus all the time. It means to be stubborn. Hardness of heart. What do you mean? Imagination is always stubbornness of the human heart. Hardness of the human heart. Okay, and we looked at it a little bit to see. Now, in order to pick that up in Jeremiah, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 29. Deuteronomy and chapter 29. Way back before they crossed the Jordan River, God warned them of everything. If they had just listened, if they had just paid attention, they would have saved themselves a whole lot of misery. But human heart doesn't do that. So here's chapter 29. May I pick up the thought in verse 18? And this is about idolatry, etc. Lest there should be among you a man or woman or family or tribe, no matter what, whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord your God, our God, to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Now you remember we read that in Jeremiah 23. Gall, poisonous plant, wormwood, bitter, very bitter. It's going to be in you. And gall and wormwood, poison, is contagious. It's not good. Therefore, verse 19, and it come to pass, when he heareth the words of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, hearing it, knowing that God just warns them what's going to happen in their heart. Verse 19, and it came to pass, when he heareth the word of this curse, that he bless himself in his heart, location, saying, I will have peace. Peace, hang on to that. Though I walk in the imagination of mine heart to add drunkenness to thirst. Now, God, what are you saying? You're going to have a wrong attitude. And where's it going to be? Where's this problem coming from? It's coming from your imagination, your hard heart, your stubbornness. And that's what it's going to do. It's going to be a hard heart. That's, you're going to get caught up. You're going to turn away from me. And you're going to go and get locked on to another course. And you're going to pursue it. Now, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 23. All these years later, and coming to chapter 23, and picking up, if I may, Ken, verse 17. Now, here's the word. And in now, looking at, I need to do it, that'll help you. The imagination, the hard-hearted. Now, as the years have gone by, and Jeremiah over and over again deals with this. Now, is the imagination mentioned in verse 23, verse 17, is that a consistent thing with them? And how so? It's used 8 times. We did a couple of them. Here, go to chapter 9. Oh, well, chapter 7. Chapter 7. Might as well pick up at least one of them. Chapter 7, if I can. And in chapter 7, picking up, please, in verse 24. 7 and 24. It'll let it just roll out, and you're going to have a be able to, you're looking at the problem, the person, and you're going to say, boy, you guys are stubbornly hard-hearted, and you don't have any intention like Pharaoh of changing. Chapter 7, verse 24. And they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their, always or each time, the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. Now, chapter 9. And in chapter 9, picking up, please, in verse 14. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them the water of gall to drink. Now, so here we are looking, chapter 9. And in, that's verse 13, verse 15, I should say. I should read verse 14 before that. Verse 14, but they have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Baalim, which their fathers taught them. So they've walked after the imagination of their heart, and they've followed their father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather. You guys have been following everybody, and we all do the same thing. And when you think of countries of the world, cultures of the world, areas of the world where they think of, we're a young country compared to the rest of the world. We're a little baby. Here's this, all the world. And they've lived century after century after century with the same thing. And each generation picks up and carries it on in a more dense, deeper way. And why can't we see things getting fixed? because it isn't going to be fixed. They don't want it fixed. They don't even want to understand that it can be fixed. That's what's awful. Now, hang on. So here, in chapter 9, verse 14, over if you would to chapter 13. And chapter 13, picking up again, verse 10. This evil people, I'll even read verse 9 to go with that. Thus saith the Lord, after this manner will I mar the pride of Judah and the great pride of Jerusalem. Remember when we did chapter 13. This evil people, which refuse to hear my words and walk, how? How are they behaving? What is their manner of life? In the imagination, the stubbornness, the hardness of their heart, and walk after other gods and serve them and to worship them, shall even be as this girdle. Remember the girdle buried in the ground, and Jeremiah does that, and then a long time he goes and digs it up, and the girdle is rotten. You pick up the piece of cloth and it just falls apart. That's the illustration. Israel, like a wonderful, wonderful girdle, wonderful, wonderful piece of cloth, is going to become good for nothing. The end of verse 10. And to worship them shall even be as this girdle, even is good for nothing. Good for nothing. It had something, but it becomes good for nothing. No good. No, it is. God said it. Now, chapter 16. And in chapter 16, you recall, verse 12. And ye have done worse than your fathers. For behold, ye walk every one after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. All you've done is carried on each generation a deeper, intenser, denser attitude against God. You want to do what you want to do in the way you want to do it. Over to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, verse 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination, the stubbornness, the hardness of his evil heart. Now, if you follow them all those years, they are consistent, aren't they? They're always consistent. You could have changed, you could have got it straight, but you didn't want to get it straight. Now, what do you do when you don't want to? Like in Corinthians, you have to go and let the ignorant be what? Be ignorant. They don't want to know. So you let it go. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, Jeremiah chapter 23. Now, the people are they're going to listen to the prophets because they despise God's word. They condemn God's word. They're going to listen to the prophets because their imagination, their hardness, their stubbornness of their heart, they don't intend to listen to Jeremiah. They don't intend to pay attention to God at all. They just aren't going to do that. Now, so therefore we read together that in verse 17, that they say still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. What did the Lord say? You shall have peace. And what else? And no evil, the end of verse 17, no evil shall come upon you. So you're going to have peace, peace, peace. It's going to be well with you in your direction, preposition, in your direction for you, your future, your hope, which you cannot see clearly, see the future. And the hope is going to be peace, good things, good times. Aren't people looking for that? They're looking for a future. And they're looking for good times and good things. And so that's what they're doing. And they're listening. They're listening. And no evil shall befall you. No evil is going to come upon you at all. Now remember now in chapter 23 and verse 10, Jeremiah was saying, the land is full of adulterers, for because of swearing the land mourneth, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course, remember that the little word course means running, a style of life that they were living, their course is evil, and their force, the word force, power, might, is the force is not right. So what are they doing? They're running their style of life, and they're running after it, and they're doing it, and they're running after wickedness with all of their might, with all of their power, father, son, all the way down the line, each generation, and it gets worse. And they're running down the road. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, and in verse 11, by the way, for both prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house, said God, have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. So their wickedness, the word wickedness is the word evil, wickedness, that you're looking at. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here we are looking, and God, you are saying it, and boy, you're making it very clear of why it's going to happen, and they are not interested. They're like the desert people, that people that don't know the desert, are out in the desert, and after a while, thirst and all of that, and be hit pretty soon in the sand hills, the desert. You see, why see water? I see it. But it really isn't there. It's an illusion. Everything's going to be all right. Be at peace. Don't worry about bad, evil, wickedness. God says they are wicked, and God's saying, don't worry about being evil. And remember what we did, or what you know in Isaiah chapter 5:20, when you call evil good, and what? And good evil, night, dark, light, dark, bittersweet. Wow. That's the way to do it. How can you do it? Well, because we change it. And hold your finger here, why not, for a second. Hold your finger right where it is there. And over to Malachi, and you recall that in the light of Isaiah, Malachi, they go together. And in Malachi chapter 2, picking up our little word, evil, verse 17, 2 and 17, God condemning Israel. You have wearied the Lord with your words, yet you say, wherein have we wearied you, God? When you say, everyone, what were they saying? This is in Malachi. This is after the Jeremiah. Oh, even everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. And he delighteth in them. God's happy with you doing evil. The Lord said it. Wow, keep going. That's what they did. What would you do? What would you do? Wow. And he said it. Well, and where is the God of judgment? There isn't any. God, no one's stopping us. And my father, you didn't stop him. You didn't stop my grandfather. So why would you stop me? I don't see any reason I'm going to get stopped in our direction. And they were going and moving down the corridor of time. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, looking to see there's no water when they think there is. Now, in the light of that, if you would put yourself to get just to see it a little bit, how far, How far can you see? Assuming you have 5/5 vision. How far can you see? Now you can see the walls. And if you're outside, all you can see, and you can look up at the sky, and knowing the zillion trillions of light years, we see a little bit of the sky. We see a couple of stars out there, little spots out there in the sky, depending on the light. And we see that, and we see that, and we do. But how far do you see? Well, we see the horizon in the right position on the top of a mountain. We could look and see the sunrise, and we could see the sunset. But how far do you see? Do you see further than that? You don't see any further than that. No one does. Now, in the light of that, how far do you see? How much do you actually control? Right now, how much do you control? I don't know. I'm asking. How much do you control? Control your thoughts to a point. You do. And you have the thoughts. What do you control? Do you control your breathing? You can. I think you do. Hold your breath and say, see, I'm in charge. Hold your breath and, I got it, I'm in charge. No, you don't control. Well, what do you control tomorrow? What do you control on the way home? You think you're going to do everything, but here comes a big moose as you're going down the road here, and a big giant moose jumps in front of your automobile. And the mooses are different than deers, you know, a little bigger. And the moose gets out there. Now, did you plan on that moose? The moose, there he goes. You don't control. What do you control? What do you actually control? We plan and do a whole lot of things. And that's why this approach from the prophets and the priest is acceptable. Because we want to hear, we want to be able to be, we want you to sanction our way of living. Your way of living, your way of living, everyone's way of living. I want you to sanctify, give us the right to live the way we want. We like that. And to be at peace, a future. We can't see the future. We don't control the future. There's nothing we can do about the future. But you can say and talk about it. And I'm going to hear, religious authority, political authority, educational authority, a philosophical authority. We got to hear somebody. We hear them. And we listen, it's all right. It's all right. But they don't have any future. They don't know. But we're listening to them. So we listen. Our society, in a given society, listens. That's what they were doing in Jerusalem and Judah. They were listening and listening. And in the light of that, let me do it another way. I'm trying to get you to think about being realistic. Because that's what they're caught up in. They're caught up in people saying and doing, and we're encouraged, and we're glad, because that's all we want to hear. And we want some assurance in some little way that maybe tomorrow, in the light of all that's happening, we shared it last time, in our world right now, it's an awesome movement all over the place. Wow. So we're looking, and we're looking, and people are looking for a little bit of something. They don't want to have to think about it. They want someone else to think about it and worry about it. And hopefully, whatever they're doing, whatever we're trusting in, maybe it'll come out right, but maybe it won't. You know. So therefore, how much? How much? What kind of hope, future, understanding do you have about being and becoming and going down the corridor of time if I take away the Bible? I'm going to close the book. Ready? Now tell me what you have. Find something. Be encouraged. Be encouraged in the light of the moment, in the light of the future. Without the Bible, without what God says, without God, try it. Try it. That's what people live. They're used to living like that. They don't know. They don't have any. Wow. Now, so therefore, God, here we are looking, and we're trying to get a handle on it. And therefore, God, would you help us? Therefore, Matthew chapter 6. Let me do just something simple. Now, here they are looking. That's our world. It's all a society. If you didn't understand Jeremiah and the condition, move through history to where we are, and we're headed for the tribulation. Is anyone interested? Oh, some people are writing and tell you what's going to happen. They aren't even probably Christians or saved, but they understand. You can't keep going in this direction. But no one's going to listen. We like what we want. And all we do is want to hear that it stays the same. We don't care who's in office or how their politics are if I can still have my pizza. Right? That's what we have. That's why everything, no matter what, how everything's affecting us, as we shared. But as long as we're able to, we can be in a in Yemen or Lebanon. And as long as we can go and get a loaf of bread somehow and have lunch and do whatever we do, it may not be like we used to do, but it's something, isn't it? We're content. We get very content with things. Discontented, and we become content with discontent. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, Matthew chapter 6. And you would recall. Chapter 6, may pick up verse 25. Therefore, God summing up his wonderful, wonderful grace and mercy. You can't have, if they either, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, what you're trusting in. You can't do both. You can't do both. Therefore, verse 25, I say unto you, since you can't do both, and since you can't make it come out, you're going to have to look to God. You have to either choose God or don't. And that's what the Israelites in Jerusalem and Judah were not willing to do. Therefore, verse 25, I say unto you, take no thought, no, don't let your mind be distraught, divided up for your life. What you shall eat or what for your body, what you shall eat or drink, or not yet for the body, what you should put on, is not life more than meat or food, and the body more than clothes? Absolutely. Now sliding down to verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, dividing, don't get all your mind all divided up and disturbed, can add one cubit unto his stature? With taking thought. Verse 28. And why take ye thought? Don't let your mind get all distraught. For raiment, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Well, they seem to come out all right, and they don't do anything. They're just common, ordinary flower. And sliding down, verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Says God, take care. And then he's going to say that rather simple, clearly. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, let your mind get all distraught, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall be clothed? Don't get all, that's a whole lot of life's like that. Trying to make our life okay. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God, do you know that? I do. And therefore, what are you going to tell us, God? To go out live off some foolish thought about we can somehow can have the future without you, coming out good? How can the future come out good without you? It can't. So therefore, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So you're going to be looking to God. And God, why are we going to look to you? Verse 34. Take therefore no thought, don't get all upset again, to be for the tomorrow, the future. Peace, you'll have peace, good things, good times. Don't be all upset about that. For tomorrow shall take care, shall take thought for the things of itself. In other words, what lies ahead tomorrow is already there. Sufficient. It's enough for unto the day, today you live in, is the evil thereof. You've got enough to deal with right here and now. So go to bed when you go to bed, and don't try to figure out all the dumb things about the future because you don't have them, and you got enough to do. And God, where are you, God? I'm not looking at a false, we don't want to look at a false prophet. We don't want to look at the priest. We want to look to you, God. And when we look to you, what do we know? Well, we know something. The false prophets don't have that. That's what's going to be shown up. Wow. The prophets never, they don't know me. And they're trying to tell you stuff about everything, about the future, about me. They don't even know me. They don't even know who I am. But they're always talking about me and telling you whatever. But anyway, now, so here we are looking, and God, in the light of that, so evil, it's enough evil for the trouble today to work through this. So what are we going to do? We aren't looking for 100 years from now. We're looking for any moment the Lord to take us. And in the meantime, we haven't lived tomorrow. We're only living right now. And that's all we're going to do. And we got enough just to try to handle that properly and rightly, looking to God, trusting him with all our heart, and remembering, always remembering and always keeping in mind, he is our Father. Now, does it make a difference? He said, I'm your Father. Now, what does a father do? A father takes care of things. Takes care. He does that. Now, then you have to say, for us humans, what is your opinion of your father? Really? Because that's when we think of God, unless I make a dramatic, absolute change from humans to God, I'm taking my human understanding and putting it on top of God to talk about God, the Father. And I don't want to do that. When I do that, I lose. Humans make promises, and humans do this, and humans do that. Sure they do. That's what they do. They're humans. But God, you are not like anyone. Your ways and your thoughts are higher than the heavens. So therefore, God, we're going to know, and you, and what are you saying? How do you answer? The prophet said, thus do this and be able to do that. You go ahead and live the way you want to and go to school and work and home and do what you're doing. And the future is peaceful. It'll be all right for you. But they don't know the future. They have no way of knowing the future. But we're trusting them. We can do what we want to do the way we want to do it. So now, having said that, keeping that in mind, God, what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to go and want you to know, I'm the Father. So we're supposed to trust you, God, with all our heart. That's right. My vocabulary is limited. I got thankfulness a little bit. And the other thing I can't get away from, unless I let it happen, is you're my Father. And the Spirit of God, Galatians 4, the Spirit of God, Romans 8:15, is going to cry, and we're going to cry, And we're both going to say, God's going to say it to me, Abba, my Father, Father, say Father. And I'm going to say it back, Father. So that, how far am I going to get? Not very far, that my Father, we just read, is watching over. God said, what are you worried about? Am I your Father or not? And therefore, God, we're going to go down the corridor of time. Where is our future? You are our future. You are. So where's my future? It's you. How far do I go to come into my future? I'm in it. I'm in the presence of the one who you're going to meet tomorrow in a different way. You're already in his presence, aren't you? He's the future. The false prophets, and they can't do that. They can't do anything. Idolatry can't do that. Religion can't do that. No, no. Because, God, you're real. And therefore, God, over if you would. Oh, and remember his wonderful word. God the Father has spoken to us by God the Son. And God the Son is the Word become what? Become flesh. That's why we abide. The Word. They said, Lord said, no, God said, I said, and that's straight from God in Christ to you in your heart. And so we read it. Isaiah 26, in closing. I hope you got a little bit. Wonderful things. Isaiah chapter 26, and put that together, if I can. And you will note, in the kingdom of God's wonderful, wonderful care, they don't need any walls or armament. He is the salvation. He surrounds them and protects them. Mm-hmm. That's what he does. And therefore, you slide down, verse 3, 26 and 3. Wilt thou wilt, God, thou wilt keep, guard him in perfect peace, whose mind, remember now we had imagination has to do with stubbornness, hardness of heart, stubbornness. This word mind is the formation of thought as you think and formulate thought in your head. Purpose, the frame of mind to think and understand. A different word. So we aren't trying to have a heart. I don't want to have a stubborn heart. Hard heart. I don't want that. No, I want to take my little old mind, our mind. We want to take our mind and rest it. Our thoughts. We have all the thoughts about so many things, and we take them all and we bring them all together. We bring them there. And what are we going to do? We're going to go, verse 3, thou wilt guard, keep him, the believing heart, in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thought process is stayed. The word stayed has to do with be supported, to be stayed, to be steadfast. Steadfast of mind, steadfast of purpose. When I'm going to take my thoughts, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, casting down every high thing that my mind and heart would exalt, and casting it down, so nothing, no thought of mine rises up to compete with God and his word. So therefore, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, supported, resting down, and it's being supported. So what are we doing? We're resting our thoughts on God's thoughts. We're resting our thoughts on God's thoughts, Isaiah 55, whose ways and thoughts are higher than the heavens. We're resting down. So we aren't letting his thought, and then we'll govern it, what we think about the Bible. No, we're letting the Bible tell us how to think and help us. So we put the Bible to hold us, not us holding the Bible. And so here we are looking, God, and you're going to go and keep that heart. You're going to hold, the heart's resting down like on the pew. You're resting down. And the heart, mind is stayed on thee because the person is trusting, relying upon you. Because he trusts, he has a relying upon, a passive relying upon, a process, a condition, and a condition and a continuance, resting down, he's trusting, he's relying. So God, you want us to rest in who you are and what you said. Is that what Matthew chapter 6 said? Yep. God said, I want you to go seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. You told us, God. What about our thoughts? No, God said, I want you to know about my thoughts. We just read it, verse 25, verse 27, verse 28. God, what did you say? I told you. Your thoughts and my thoughts are not the same. So you're worried about this and wondering about that and floundering and following and moving. I want you to hold that. Why don't you look to me and trust me? Where is my future? I'm in it. And we shared that last time. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, you are given instantly a unique relationship to God. And if I were to die, or you were to die right now, all we do is have the greater understanding of the relationship which you already have. You already have it. So where do I have to go about tomorrow? Nowhere. God is my tomorrow. God is your tomorrow. There is no more time to God. So God says, listen, I don't go by time. You do. You do. But I don't. So you're trusting me. That's what you do. And we go down the corridor of time in a most wonderful way. And God, so here we are. You're going to keep us in perfect peace. And I might as well read verse 4 in closing. Trust ye in the Lord forever. Little word trust again. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So God, what were they listening to the prophets and the priests and the people were loving it so? Because it allowed them to do what they want to do. But God said, you don't have to do it that way. They don't know the future. No one knows the future. You can't even figure out an hour from now, for sure. You don't know that for nothing. You think you do, but you don't know it. Wow, God does. And so we're learning to trust you, God. That's what he said in the first place. He told us to trust him. That's what Israel wouldn't do.